So I just got finished talking to my dad, or helping my dad, being with my dad. Last we had talked was his being very anxious when he goes to any doctor's appointments, and I never noticed. I start getting panicky whenever I have to take my dad anywhere because he's always, most of the time, angry. But I'm starting to figure out what makes him angry, which makes me angry, which then we're not a good mix together. Maybe some of you can relate, where you're not understanding, why can't I get along with my boomer father? My mother was a whole different animal. My mom was the stay-at-home mom. She took care of everybody. Everybody loved her. She left you better than she found you. She was always making something to eat for you. You know, if you were selling stuff for your kids, I mean, she would buy that Christmas wrap, that candy, you know, the door-to-door, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, I mean, always donating to local charities and churches. And my mother, I will never find another person like her. Like, the biggest heart. Even when she was dying, she still, for the most part, kept her spirits up, loved having people over, just so she could. My mother was a talker. Towards the end of her life, my mama could talk. And I have some of her recordings, voicemail recordings, and every once in a great while I'll listen to it because her voice got very labored and breathy, and just because she had a lung disease. Well, my dad, the older he gets, the grumpier he gets. And last time we had talked about that Agnes suit of how your tendons and your joints start shortening up, you know, arthritis, you're in pain. I mean, it's just, it's, we got to take care of our health. I mean, I don't know how many times somebody had to tell me that eventually it's going to catch up to you. It's like having that brand new car, or that brand new whatever, and you know, you're having so much fun with it, you're just like, yeah, it's fine, till you break it, till you run its guts out, right? So my dad has always hated going to the doctors. Like, I never really noticed. It's just because that's who he was, that's who he is. So because my dad and I don't live together, I get to notice things quicker. And so I was getting ready to take him, and he's, you know, just snipping at me, and I'm like, Dad, I'm here to help you. Like, what's wrong? And he was, oh, well, I guess we're going to a different one. And because I'm like, why are we taking your walker? Like, I don't, like, what's going on? We usually just get the wheelchair, blah, blah, blah. So we're switching roles. I'm the caretaker. I'm the one who is cleaning up after my dad. And that's what I volunteered for. But I'm thinking, my father took care of the bills. My father took care of the yard work. My father was a man's man. Okay. My dad isn't used to anybody helping him with anything. And how, I want to say maybe being at the doctor makes him feel vulnerable. Or when I'm helping him, he's vulnerable and he hates that. And I'm the daughter. And maybe it's his realization, or maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he's just not liking how he feels with my helping him. Maybe it makes him feel like less. Which, of course, I don't see it that way. Like, that's my dad. My mom or my dad, let me help you. Let me help you. I want to help you. But I can see why there's resistance of letting go, of being, not being in control of your own body, and how frustrating and pissed off and angry and bitter and maybe even a little bit of shame in there. That's all I can think of. Now, my dad and I have had some decent conversations. You know, hey, Dad, do you happen, because you have to, last week, I said, Dad, do you have hearing aids? Because when we were at the doctor, he kept looking at me to tell him what the doctor said. Or I would just answer the doctor if I knew the answer. And I said, and on the way home, he was like, I don't use them. And I'm like, he goes, I can hear way too much. I hear things I don't want to even want to hear. And I'm like, okay. And I said, Dad, you don't think it, you know, it's probably been a while since you've used them. Maybe if you've had more hearing loss, it wouldn't be so bad. And he goes, no. And I said, well, he goes, do you know how you sound when you talk to me? And I'm like, no. And I'm like, he goes, you just get louder. He goes, I don't need you to get louder. He goes, you sound like you're, and in my head, I'm thinking like, maybe I sound like I'm underwater. He goes, you sound like you're mad. Every time you talk to me, you sound like you're mad at me. And I'm like, oh. Oh, I'm like, well, that's not the way I want to make you feel. He goes, talk to me in a normal voice, but slow down. And I'm like, all right. He goes, go ahead, say something. And I'm like, hi, Dad. How are you today? And he's like, I'm fine, thank you. How are you today? He goes, go ahead, talk to me some more. And so I kept a normal tone, but I slowed my words down. And I have to tell myself that when I'm talking to him now, I need to look at him when I'm talking to him. Look him in the face. Sorry, I'm a little tired today. I also saw my granddaughters and my daughter. She goes, Mom, you look tired. Like, I'm tired. Definitely tired. And so my dad and I said, Dad, it's going to take time for you and I how to figure out how to work together. And because I was wanting to go over early in the mornings, because I'm an early riser and I like being at the gym between 6:30 and 7, and then head straight over to my dad's so I can do some work and then come back home for the rest of the day. And I was going over about 10, and then he pushed it to 11, and then he pushed it to 1, and now we're pushed to 2. Because he doesn't sleep, and he said he doesn't get up till noon, 1 o'clock, and he likes to eat around 5. So I'm like, okay. My husband and I had a ritual for Fridays for the last, I would say, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, and we're that couple that goes and eats dinner 1:30, 2 o'clock. So I was getting home in time to, you know, enjoy time with my husband. And my dad kept pushing the time, and my husband's, he works from home. So, and that's probably one of the other things everybody notices. Mom, you always have to get home. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm on a schedule. And that's just how it's been for the longest time. So I had to tell my husband, look, we're going to switch dinner to brunch. So I'm going to go work out. I'm going to come home, shower, get ready, and then you and I can go have brunch, and then I can head over to my dad's. And he's like, oh, okay, all right. My husband's a hippie, super easygoing, never gets mad about anything, just, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm the one who gets uptight from a former relationship where it just really affected me to where I feel like if I ask something, hey, I'm going to need you to do this instead, and just get annihilated. So I still suffer from that. I don't know what to call it. Like, my husband's never given me a reason to hide anything from him or not say how I feel or, you know, hey, I'm going to switch jobs. You know, I'm going to do this. Like, he just like, okay. Like, whatever makes me happy. But every once in a while, I feel like I'm the one who causes disruptions. And when somebody doesn't like disruptions or surprises or not being in control, that freaks me out, like, big time. So I have to, it's so ridiculous. I have to gather myself and what I'm going to say and what I'm going to do and present it in a certain way. And my husband always goes, oh, okay, well, that sounds great. Yeah, do what you got to do. Every time. Like, every time. Or if he has a question, he'll be like, okay, but if you do that, how else can we... Like, he has questions. Like, and he does it in such a sincere, kind, I'm your partner, how do we get through this together? And I still, even after 12 years, I'm like, you weirdo. You're so good to me. You know, here I am panic-stricken of what's going to happen if I bring along this change. And you're always so good about it. But the change is usually so far and few between that I have to gear myself back up for something that he does. I don't know if that makes any sense, if anybody's ever suffered from that before. But so my dad and I are learning how to be together 3 times a week. I would go see my dad once a week. For about 2 hours. And then when I saw him almost 2 months ago, and I was like, you need to have somebody here come check on you. My brother works long hours, and I'll be here 3 days a week. And he was happy about that. He was way happy. So that's my boomer daddy. You know, the tough old Navy guy, salt of the earth, who just is learning to be okay letting me help him. That has to be some humility forced down his throat. And I think he would rather have a child of his help him versus a stranger. And there's so many good people out there that do that for other people because people have children that are working, or maybe they just can't, or maybe they don't want to, maybe they're too far away. I don't know, whatever the circumstances are. I consider myself lucky to be able to help my dad in the last years of his life. But again, we're learning to switch roles and to be okay with it. It's an amazing feeling. To know why. Why is he like this? Why is he doing this? And how do I get better at helping him and him not feel like less? Because I don't like being yelled at. You know, I don't want him to feel like I feel like he's a burden, or, you know, I don't like miscommunication. I have gone up to people who are just, you know, just like totally blown. You're like, have I done something? Like, instead of playing that game of, oh, you're not going to say hi to me? Well, fuck you. I'm not going to say hi to you either. And you just be all grumpy. And then you find out I had nothing to do with you. I've learned that lesson. Now I just ask questions. And I do it in a very calm and sincere way. Because that's the way I would want. You know, Hey, I noticed you're not your talkative self, and you're not smiling. What's going on? You okay? Do you need anything? You know, do you need anybody to talk to? I'm here. You know, that's what I would like. I want the choice to be able to say, you know, I really could use somebody to talk to right now, or, you know what? I just appreciate you asking. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm going to figure it out on my own, but thank you for offering. Appreciate you. Who doesn't want those type of people in their life that care about them genuinely? Now, my sister, on the other hand, whew, I've told you about her. She's disowned me twice. I'm done. I'm done. And then she testified against our brother. And that was like, fuck, girl. Keep your fucking nose out of other people's business. If your ex-sister-in-law says, I need you to testify against your brother, you don't say, yeah, sure, what can I do to help you? It's, that's my brother. He didn't try to fucking murder you or steal from you or, you know, beat the shit out of you or, you know, I mean, he didn't make enough money for you. Period. Okay. You move on. And I'm sure she would say, we're the toxic ones. Okay. Call me whatever the fuck you want. I do not care. I do not care what people perceive who and what I am. I'm okay with it. I have come to the point where I'm like, I'm happy. My children are happy. My spouse is happy. My father's happy. My granddaughters are happy. Like, I'm happy. Shit happens, of course. You know, but I'm much better at handling it now. Especially if it's the first time. When I never had a parent die before. You know. But I think I was fortunate in the way that it wasn't all of a sudden. Like, I had 3 years to get used to the idea that she was leaving. Does it make it any easier? No. But believe me when I say I took full advantage of those 3 years to see my mom every holiday, once a week. You know, if she needed me to come do something else, I would come during the week. Hey, okay, mom. Like, I did what I needed to do so that she was okay and I was okay. And I think that way with everybody in my life now. I haven't reached out to people in my little circle in so long. And I don't like how I've gotten used to that. Not one bit. So I'm being more cognizant of reaching out to people and letting them know that I care and I'm here. And that's important to me. I was teaching my granddaughter. My oldest granddaughter wanted to learn how to crochet. So I got her own crochet bag, some yarn and a hook and a pair of scissors. And her sisters immediately joined in. And I was like, oh, I don't have sticks for everybody, but this is what we're going to do. So I taught them how to do the finger basic chain stitch with their fingers. So those two were working on that. And so now I need to go get some more sticks and some more yarn. And they're happy, which makes me happy. My daughter's happy. My sons are happy. Just reaching out and saying I'm here every couple days, once a week, whatever. A text, a phone call, a TikTok, you know, video. I send it to them that I find funny. Has really created a whole different world for me. One that used to scare the shit out of me. I'm used to chaos and yelling and screaming and tit for tat and just, you know, nothing good for very long. I didn't know that I could be this happy after all the mistakes I have made in my life. All right, think about that. We all make mistakes and we all deserve to move on and do better. Some people you're going to have to leave behind because you did that much damage. Hey, I did it. People had to let me go because I had just done too much. But the people that I can and I am salvaging what's left and building upon that was worth the amount of pain I went through knowing I hurt the people that I love. I deserved that pain. But I also deserved to go through it so that I could be better. I took accountability. I took responsibility. And from this point forward, well, it's been 10 years now. I've spent 10 years righting my wrongs. I can see the writing on the wall. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know how I'm supposed to behave. I know what I'm supposed to... I know. And if I don't know, I ask. If there a new situation arises, I say, how can I help you? How can I be of assistance? How can I help you feel better? Because I don't know. I haven't been through this before. How can I be of service? And for me, there's no greater feeling than someone letting me be there. And most of them don't even have to do anything. They just want my company. Just if you could just sit here with me. If you could just hold my hand. If you could hand me a tissue, would you mind going and picking this up for me? You know what sounds really good right now? A burger. Oh, okay, I'm on my way. I'm doing that. Let's do that. It's been amazing. It's been amazing to right my wrongs and see how that contributes to the universe of being kind. I was never kind. I'd be nice to you because I thought I was going to get something in return. But I've learned to be kind without any expectations. It's one of the bigger lessons I've learned. Helping my father because I can and because I want to. And I'm so glad, so blessed, so grateful.